is Behind the Scenes, an inside look at what it takes to put together a podcast and make it work. Check it out.
Hey, this is Craig Patchett, and this is Behind the Scenes for the week of January 17th, 2005. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is a podcast for podcasters or anyone thinking about putting a podcast together. It doesn't matter whether you're new, brand new, or you've had a podcast going for a couple of months. This is the show that's going to help you get the most out of your podcast or make the most out of your podcast and help you to get it sounding good and make it successful. So, welcome. The show is going to be a little bit rough around the edges. I had planned on putting some more prep time into it, but had an unexpected podcasting opportunity come up on Friday and ended up putting most of my spare time this weekend into that opportunity. I'm going to have to be a little mysterious about it in this show, and hopefully I'll be able to tell you more about it in the near future, but it's definitely something that I think you're going to be interested in, and I look forward to sharing it with you. But in any case, I do have some interesting things to cover in the show. I'm going to talk about some resources that are available on the web that talk about how some existing podcasters are recording their shows, what equipment they're using, and it'll give you an opportunity to run the gamut from relatively inexpensive all the way up to fairly expensive and listen to those people's shows and compare the quality and kind of decide, you know, how far you're willing to go. You know, is something really inexpensive all that you need, or do you really want to try for a more professional sound? And along those lines, we'll also talk about how to get the most out of the mic that you have or that you can afford. You can actually push an inexpensive mic fairly far, or quite far, I guess I should say, by using some fairly simple techniques. And without those techniques, you can actually get your good mic sounding fairly bad. So knowing those techniques is important. We'll go over those. And then finally, we did get one caller into the show over the past week with a question. And we'll get to those questions, actually two questions, and they're both very good ones. And we'll get to those as well. One is about adding an image to your podcast for display on an iPod photo or in an MP3 player app such as Windows Media or iTunes. The other is about what kind of recording software podcasters are using to record their podcasts and edit their podcasts. And we'll go over that as well. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to remind you that if you have questions that you'd like answered on the show, if you have comments or tips or information that you'd like to share with the listeners to the show, please feel free to contribute them either via email or on our comments line at 815-301-8600. That's 815-301-8600. That's a Chicago number, so unless you're in the greater Chicago area, that will be a toll call. The email address is feedback@godcast.org. And with all that aside, let's jump right into the show with our caller's first question.
Hey, Craig. This is Craig Shoemaker from the Polymorphic Podcast. You can find me at drazz75.com. That's drazz75.com. I got two questions for you. Number one being, when I play some podcast MP3s in Windows Media Player, there's an image that comes up in the bottom right-hand corner, and I was wondering how you link up those images.
Okay, that's an excellent question. If you are using a Windows Media Player, as Craig is, or if you're using an iPod Photo or iTunes on either the Macintosh or Windows, you may have noticed that some podcasts do have images associated with them where you would see album art for if you're playing a music MP3. And actually, it's really easy to get an image into your podcast. The image is actually embedded into the MP3, so wherever the MP3 goes, the image goes with it. In the case of Windows Media Player, all you have to do is right-click on the MP3 that you want to add the image file to, choose Advanced Tag Editor from the pop-up menu, and then click on the Pictures tab in the Tag Editor dialog. and you'll have the ability to add a picture to the file. In the case of iTunes, either for the Mac or for Windows, again, you want to select the MP3 that you want to add the image to. And then on the left-hand side of the iTunes window, underneath the track list, you should see an area that is reserved for displaying the artwork for the file. If you don't, at the bottom of the screen, underneath the playlist again, at the very bottom of the screen, there is a series of icons to shuffle and to repeat songs. And to the right of those icons is a small button with an icon that looks like a dialogue with an arrow pointing up on it. If you click that, then you will see the area for the artwork. You can drag any image file, any standard image file, or certainly a JPEG image file into that area, and it will attach the artwork to any songs that are currently selected, any MP3 files that are currently selected. You can also do a Control-I or Command-I on the Macintosh, and that will open up the info window for currently selected MP3s, and you'll find an artwork tab in that window that you can use as well, either for dragging or opening image files. One thing to bear in mind is that image files are actually embedded into your MP3 file. And while that's not going to be a problem with podcasts, given that podcasts are fairly large in the first place, if you're embedding image files into MP3s, after a while their size is going to end up adding up. So resize any image files down to a reasonable size before you embed them. Typically, they don't need to be larger than 200 by 200 pixels in order to provide a decent quality resolution on an iPod screen or on your PC or Mac screen. Okay, let's move on to Craig's second question.
Also, I'm curious if you would have any recommendations for any audio mixing software. Maybe if there's anything out there that's any good that's free, or if maybe you could get some choices at different price levels for people to check out. I just wanted to say thanks for doing the behind the scenes, and I look forward to your future casts. And we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Craig. It seems that the majority of podcasters, at least the ones that I've spoken to or chatted with over the internet, are using one of two software packages. On Windows, that's Audacity. And on the Mac, it's either Audacity or GarageBand. Audacity is a free, open source audio editing package that is available online, and I'll post a link to that at the Behind the Scenes website, which incidentally is at www.godcast.org, and just click on the Behind the Scenes link in the navigation bar on the left-hand side. Audacity is relatively easy to use, although you'll need to spend a little time with the manual, there are some things that are a little bit on the quirky side, at least from my experience. But it has everything you need in order to put together a podcast. If you want to do professional 8-track recording, it's probably not going to meet your needs. But if you're trying to put together a podcast where you're basically mixing voice with an intro and a few effects and maybe a sound bed on top of that, and you want to add some effects, compression, some reverb, it's going to meet everything that you want to do. And it's going to do so for free. So, you can't beat that. And that's probably why so many people are using it. Another advantage to it is the fact that there are so many podcasters using it. So if you run into problems and you need advice, it's going to be easy to find it on one of the podcaster forums online, such as those at Podcast Alley or the podcaster group at Yahoo. On the Macintosh, Audacity is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. So it is truly a cross-platform application. On the Macintosh, a lot of us, myself included, are using GarageBand, which is an excellent entry-level multi-track recording tool from Apple and has Apple's ease of use built in all over the place. It is fairly processor intensive, so you need a newer Mac or a reasonably newer Mac. I'm running it on a 17-inch flat screen iMac, but it's a lot of fun to use, and it certainly does a job for podcasting. And that runs, it comes as part of the iLife package, and which just got upgraded as of January 22nd. iLife 05 is available and sells for $79 and includes iPhoto, iDVD, iMovie, GarageBand, and iTunes. So it's a good deal too. It's not free, but it's, you get a lot for the $79. You certainly can move a step beyond those two applications and go into something more expensive, but to be perfectly honest with you, unless you're trying to do a really complex show, there's really no need for it. So if you decide to go, you know, if you decide that for some reason you do want to go into something more complex, there are forums and places on the web available where you can get some more professional advice as far as that's concerned. And a Google search will certainly help you in that regard. So that's it for our caller. And again, Craig, I appreciate it and encourage the rest of you to call in with your own questions. What I want to move on to now is to, well, actually, what I want to do while we're talking about setups and software, and this is my segue, is to talk a little bit about what I'm using to record behind the scenes. Last week's show was recorded on my Sennheiser noise-canceling headset mic because I was recording the show from my car during the evening commute. I'm back in my bedroom studio at the moment, and I'm using an Audio-Technica AT3035 condenser mic, which I picked up off of eBay for around $120. You can buy them new for around $200 if you search on the internet. And that comes with a shock mount, which is normally on most mics going to run you at least an extra $30 or so. So it's a pretty good deal. And for an entry-level condenser mic, from the research that I've done on the internet, it's highly recommended for voice applications. So again, that's the Audio-Technica AT3035. That is mounted on a microphone arm, which again I picked up off of eBay for around $40. If you think of a Luxor lamp and replace the lamp head with a microphone, you have a pretty good idea of what that looks like. And it's running into a Behringer mixer. Behringer makes a wide range of inexpensive mixers. In the case of a condenser mic, you need to run into a mixer or a mic preamp that provides phantom power. Condenser mics require power in order to work properly, and that power needs to come from a mixer with phantom power on board or from a mic preamp. Basically, the mixer has a mic preamp that provides the phantom power. And so that mixer is going to run you around, or the preamp is going to run you around $50 to $60 minimum, and can run you all the way up to into the thousands if you want to get really fancy or into the high-tech, hi-fi world. In any case, mine is an inexpensive mixer that runs into a Griffin iMic, which is required for my iMac, since the iMac does not have a line-in jack. And the iMic then runs into the iMac and into GarageBand. And that is my setup. Total cost, $120 for the mic, about $100 for the mixer, which I already had. The iMic, I think, was around $35 or $40. Again, it was something that I already had. And GarageBand, I had the older version, which came for $50, and again, was something that I already had. And the microphone arm was $40. So total outlay for me beyond the equipment that I already had was $160. If I had needed to purchase the mixer, I probably would have gotten a less expensive one for around $50. And so the total outlay would have been around $210. And I've experimented with other mics, and probably in another show, what I'll do is I'll do a show just on mics where I run the gamut through the various mics that I have, which range from the built-in mic on the iMac to inexpensive plugin that runs around $50 all the way up through the Audio-Technica, and just give you a feel for the mics that I have in terms of the different quality. But I think that what you'll find in the web resources that I'm going to give you in this next section of the show is that you'll have a feel based on people's podcasts as to what the different qualities can run. So let's move right into that section. If you go to the Behind the Scenes website, you'll find a link to Steve Holden's weblog, specifically a blog entry that he made that is titled, What Gear Do You Need for a Podcast? Steve is another San Diego-based podcaster, and in this link, he lists probably about a dozen websites that show podcasters' rig setups, like the one that I just described for my own podcast, what mics they're using, and how they are recording their podcasts for the most part. And this is an excellent resource because you will have an opportunity to see things that range from relatively inexpensive $20 or $30 mics all the way up to $400, $500, $600 mics connected to a literally, you know, $1,000 worth of audio equipment. And you'll get to listen to the podcasts that are created by that equipment and compare it and decide for yourself at which point does the investment in equipment really not pay off in terms of the increased quality, at least as far as you're concerned in terms of your own goals for your podcast. Steve is probably down at the low end of the range in terms of cost invested. He's using a Plantronics DSP-100 digital USB mic as far as getting his voice recorded, and he's using Audacity for Windows as far as capture, editing, and output. And so there's the basics. And you can, again, listen to his podcast and see how it sounds. And then down at the high end of the spectrum, you've got Doug Kay's setup for IT Conversations, which, you know, pretty much outclasses any stereo hi-fi entertainment system you've ever set up or dreamed of in terms of the amount of gear that he's got. You know, you'll lust after this setup. And so that's it. Again, Steve Holden, check out the link on the Behind the Scenes website, and you'll really enjoy this. Now, regardless of what equipment you set up, you'll find that there are certain techniques that you can use and should be using with your equipment in order to get the best out of the best sound out of that equipment, especially out of your microphone. And if you scroll down to the bottom of Steve's blog entry that I just discussed, you'll find that I posted a comment with four things that you can do to improve any podcast setup. Number one, make sure that you record in a space that has as little background noise and as few echoes as possible. That means that if you're in a room with a computer, record away from your computer, get a longer mic cord, start your recording, walk away, go somewhere where there's no sound. Some people have jokingly said that you should record in a closet, and it's really not that funny. A closet will deaden any sound. The clothes especially will serve to get rid of any echoes. And other people have suggested draping a blanket or blankets around you while you're recording to help, first of all, get rid of any outside sound. Second of all, to make sure that the sound of your voice isn't bouncing off of anything. You can go to that extreme if you want, but the most important thing is to make sure that you are getting rid of the background noise. Second of all, use proper mic positioning and technique. You want to be as close to the microphone as you can without picking up any additional noise as far as from the breath from your mouth is concerned. So usually 4 to 6 inches away from the mic. If you have a pop filter, which can be as simple as a stretched piece of pantyhose between your mouth and the mic, that can stop getting the puh, puh, puh sound. And you can also try positioning the mic in different areas around your mouth. And I've provided several links to sites that talk about where to position the mic. One of the things you can do is simply to start recording and move the mic around, move it further away, move it closer to you, and just say as you're talking, okay, now the mic is, you know, 4 inches in front of my mouth, and now it's 4 inches over to the left of my mouth, and now it's above my mouth. And try and find the sweet spot for that particular mic and for your voice. You might be surprised where it is. Third of all, watch your levels. By levels, that means how loud the mic sound is coming into your computer. There's several places where you're going to have to watch your levels. If you're using a mixer, you need to watch it coming into the mixer. You then need to watch it coming into your sound card. And then finally, you need to watch it coming into your software. You want to make sure that nowhere along that path does it get maxed out. Because anywhere where it gets maxed out, you're going to lose part of your signal and you're going to get the sound of distorted speakers, basically. If you've ever had distorted speakers or blown out speakers and you get that crackling sound, you're going to get that into your mix and there's no way to get rid of it. You're better to come in too low and then have to raise it than to come in too high. You come in too low, you're going to end up with a little bit of noise in the background. If you come in too high, you're going to end up with the crackling, and it's going to be much harder to compensate for. Finally, you want to use a compressor, either a hardware compressor between the mic and the computer, or a software plugin that are quite plentiful and available for both Audacity and GarageBand. A compressor is going to even out the highs and the lows in terms of volume in your voice, so that your soft passages when you're talking are closer in volume to your louder passages, and it just makes it easier to listen to, especially in headphones. And I think that about does it for this edition of Behind the Scenes. I'd like to thank you for listening to the show and encourage you once again to send in email comments, questions, anything that you'd like included in the show. Audio comments are also welcome. Please keep them family friendly. And also, the comment line once again is 815-301-8600. And the website for links mentioned in the show is www.godcast.org. And you can click on the Behind the Scenes link on the left-hand side of the page. Thanks again. This is Craig Patchett from Behind the Scenes. Have a great week. God bless.